I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the third hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show on this Wednesday, June 4th, 2025, here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM. 910, 980 AM or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You could download that app at your App Store, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. You look for the Odyssey app. It's a big orange A. You download it, search for WILK News Radio, favorite it. That's it. You're done. You have us. Anywhere, anytime, any place. It is 510 here, 89 degrees on this Wednesday, June 4th. Before I get started with the next story, there's an update on something we talked about when it happened. Christian McGee, a North Carolina teen who was suspended from school for using the term illegal alien in class, will receive $20,000 and a public apology from the Davison County Board of Education after they falsely accused him of racial bias. He was suspended, and the charge was racial bias against their student handbook by using the term illegal alien. Sued, the school district will now have to pay him $20,000 and a public apology. This is how you make institutions change their ways. Now, somebody commented, $20,000, that's it? Dude, get a real lawyer and sue them into the next school year. I'm assuming, and I'm just reading it on its start here, and this happened back in April of 2024. He was a 16-year-old student at the time at the Davison County School Board of Education, where he was suspended for using racial bias, for saying the term illegal alien in class. It's reported by his teacher. Went through the process, was suspended, appealed, suspension was upheld, went to court. Good for you. And I agree. Probably could have got more money out of them, but you know, was his intent to hurt the school district financially, or was the intent to stop them from acting irrationally, which obviously they did. And for a 16-year-old kid at the time to have the school district have to give you $20,000 and an apology, good for you. Good for you. And this needs to happen more and more and more. These students with these athletics that's still going on need to start doing the same thing. Somebody says, will the taxpayers pay the fine or will the board members? Well, that's it too. My recommendation was to be, you should have went after everyone personally as well. The principal, the teacher, each school board member. Now what happens in situations like this is usually their insurance will cover legal payouts. If the insurance company denies it, then it would be up to the taxpayer, yes. But I agree. We've seen time and time again our elected officials do whatever they want because they're never held personally responsible. It's not hard to hold these members personally responsible. You know, back way back when, I'm talking almost 25 years ago, not only did I lodge a complaint with the school, but I also went to the state licensing and had an official blemish put on their license for teaching. There are documented standards, and if they violate it, you have a case to bring to the State Board of Education, that complaint, and it sticks with them. So even if they change school districts, even if they go somewhere else, that sticks with them. And any new job will see it. So that's the route you need to go when it comes to these things. Because, again, a lot of people do not care because it's taxpayer dollars, it's the school district dollars, it's not me. But they start to care if it's on their license. They start to care if it's a blemish on their personnel record for the rest of their career. And if you want to be careless, if you want to be make it personal, then it's easy enough to do as long as you follow the rules and they violate those rules that are clearly set out by the Department of Education in Pennsylvania. And again, people are saying the teacher should be fired. It wasn't just the teacher. The teacher reported this, but it was the principal. It was the school board that upheld this. It was the entire process. It was the entire process. And again, that just was an update to a case back in April of 2024 where the 16-year-old was suspended for using the term illegal alien in class. And now the school district has to pay him $20,000 and a public apology. Public apology, to me, was worth way more than the $20,000. Listen, I would imagine he's 17 years old now. $20,000 is a good start for his college education. Hopefully he doesn't go out and spend it on a new car or anything like that. But either way. So Meta signs a 20-year nuclear deal as tech giants continue AI-driven energy push. Now, we're seeing this more and more and more. We've seen it right here in Pennsylvania with agreements to our nuclear reactors here just south of us in Pennsylvania for this very same thing. And it still amazes me to this day. Now, listen, nuclear power is the ultimate clean energy. And from what I've been told, and I'm not a nuclear scientist or someone, an engineer who's worked in these facilities, but we do have listeners that who are. And they say basically the nuclear reactors that we have today are the Model Ts of nuclear reactors. They are much more cleaner. They are much more efficient. They are much smaller and better entities that could be produced now. And it is truly the ultimate clean energy. But Meta signed the 20-year deal with a nuclear plant in Illinois, becoming the latest tech giant to partner with the industry to power the expansion into artificial intelligence. Starting in June of 2027, Meta will fund approximately 1.1 gigawatts of energy from Constellation Energy's Clinton Clean Energy Center in Clinton, Illinois, which is entire output from the site's sole reactor. Just 1 gigawatt is enough to power nearly 1 million homes. The deal is Meta's first in nuclear power, echoing moves in the industries like Microsoft, Google, and Amazon, which have also signed deals to fund nuclear plants as their massive data center require more and more power. Securing clean, reliable energy is necessary to continue advanced AI ambitions, Meta's head of global energy said in a statement. Now, it's interesting. Now, nuclear energy. Remember the protests back in the 70s and 80s? Nuclear power? No. They shut down. If you ever travel Shore Drive, the coast of California, there are multiple nuclear reactors that are shut down. They're just there. That power the entire grid of California. They got away from it. Now they have brownouts and blackouts and wildfires when the high tension lines from the wind farms in the Palm Springs Valley fall and start fires. They have to shut down the power lines when the high winds are there, so they don't do that because they were sued. But now all of a sudden, it's secure, clean, reliable energy again. And we should be pursuing this. Every home across the nation, every home in Pennsylvania should be powered with clean nuclear energy. It's plain and simple. In December, Meta has put a request for nuclear partners saying it wanted to be added between 1 and 4 gigawatts of new nuclear energy across the country. Now, mind you, 1 gigawatt of nuclear power powers 1 million homes. They want between 1 and 4 gigawatts. That's the equivalent to powering 4 million homes for this AI initiative. And we've all been told AI uses an extreme amount of power. A lot of times when I try and use AI now, it says that, you know, it's backlog because too many people are using it. Now, that proposal is separate from the Clinton plant funding. Meta's 2-decade deal will support the plant's continuing operation and relicensing efforts. The plant will not directly power Meta's data centers, but it will support the tech giant's clean energy goals and operations in the region, Constellation said. The deal will also expand Clinton's energy, clean energy output by 30 megawatts, preserving 1,100 high-paying jobs and delivering $13.5 million in annual tax revenue, the nuclear power firm said. Meta told the Post that it's not disclosing the terms of the deal. Constellation did not immediately respond to request for comment. The nuclear center had been in danger of closing when the zero emission credit expired in 2027. We are proud to partner with Meta because they figured out that supporting and relicensing and expansion of existing plants is just as impactful as finding new energy sources. And again, why are we trying to find new energy sources when we could just build new nuclear power plants and keep the ones we have online, relicense them, update them, but build new ones too? In September, Microsoft signed a 20-year deal with Constellation to restart the Three Mile Island right here in Pennsylvania, the site of the worst nuclear meltdown in U.S. history, although obviously they're starting the one that didn't melt down. Google last month said it partnered with Element Power to fund three new nuclear sites, and last year teamed up with Kairos Power on small modular reactors, smaller, more modern, more mobile. Amazon invested more than $500 million to develop small modular reactors and bought a data center powered by the Susquehanna nuclear plant. Meta joined some of the tech giants in March to sign a pledge to support tripling nuclear energy worldwide by 2050. The government has also taken action to spur nuclear plant construction. Last month, President Trump signed four executive orders aimed at speeding up the building of nuclear power plants, including small modular reactors. One of his new rules requires regulators to take no more than 18 months to approve applications for new reactors. The White House also said the goal is to quadruple the number of nuclear power plants in the U.S. from about 100 gigawatts to 400 gigawatts by 2050. So it is happening. And it amazes me, having lived through all the protests about past nuclear reactors, the turn of acceptance when it comes to it. It's 521 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So yesterday, we had the Scranton City Council meeting yesterday, and then you had the Lackawanna County Commissioners meeting earlier today, which was held up in Clark Summit as a remote meeting. You could find both of those meetings at the ECTV on YouTube link channel. I suggest you watch both. The Scranton City Council meeting gets more interesting and interesting every time I watch it. Thankfully, a lot of those individuals will no longer have a place in elected government because they're truly, truly head-shaking, a few of them. So, but one of the things that took place at the county commissioner meeting today is the county will lease Marketplace at Steamtown space for assessment appeals. Yes, the reassessment appeals that will take place. Lackawanna County will rent space in the Marketplace at Steamtown to hear thousands of assessment appeals anticipated before reassessed property values countywide take effect next year. The Marketplace at Steamtown will provide a convenient and centralized Scranton location for the appeals, which the County Permanent and Auxiliary Appeals Board will hear in August, September, and October, officials said. The three-month appeal window gives property owners the opportunity to challenge their new assessment, calculated as part of the Lackawanna County's first property assessment since 1968. Now, at the meeting today, which again took place in Clark Summit, they approved a commercial lease agreement with Steamtown 300 LLC, for first floor space at the Market Space, which is located at Lackawanna Avenue and owned by businessman and developer John Basiliga. The county will pay $3,700 per month to rent and utilities during the three-month lease per the agreement. Now, last month, they appointed 12 members and two alternates to several new auxiliary boards, which will hear and rule on assessment appeals. Now, at first, their department, who's handling the reassessment, said they planned about 7,000. Now, the last I heard, that was up to 10,000. Now, you got to figure there's about 103 properties that are being reassessed. And again, their first estimate was about 7,000 appeals would take place. Now, County Assessment Director Patrick Tobin said in May that he anticipated at most 10,000 appeals during the three-month window, with the appeals board conducting hearings 5 days a week over that period. The four recently established auxiliary boards complement the county's permanent assessment appeal board, composed of members from around the county that were appointed at the last meeting. So again, more taxpayer money going in to handle this. Is the Steamtown location convenient for you if you live in Lackawanna County? Now, I live at the north end of the county, so it's really not, but I guess for the entire county, is it a central location? Okay. I get that. Is there parking there? Yes, there is. But you mean to tell me out of all the other buildings, all the other areas Lackawanna County has?
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
There was no place to do it. No other place. Now, August, September, and October. Too bad it's not taking place in the off season. They could use the suites at the Rail Riders Stadium, right? Doesn't the county own that? They could use the suites up on the second floor to do the appeals process. There's plenty of parking. Not much further than Steam Mall at Steamtown, but it is the season, so that obviously that's not an option doing that. This will take place August, September, and October. It's going to be interesting to see this go through because we are, as a county, getting a lot less information that other counties who are going through the same process got. Other counties, some of them using our very same company that's doing Lackawanna counties, have gotten estimates on what their taxes were going to be based on the formula, which is subject to change because of appeals, but at least it's an estimate. Other counties have gotten comparisons to exactly what they compared your house to come up with the number they got. We've gotten none of that. The informal appeals were pretty much just them making sure they had the right address and the right information as far as your property went. You know, I know several people who went there and it really was a whole lot of nothing rather than, you know, they have their number, and as long as the address is correct, the size of your property is correct, and there was no major errors in what they were evaluating, then there were no changes made. And all changes were posted for the formal appeal, which will start. So we'll see how this goes again. Unfortunately, people will lose their homes over this. People will not be able to stay in their properties. And it's interesting to see where it goes. Even, you know, my wife and I have had conversations between the tax increases and this reassessment. Is it worth staying here anymore? And here's a place I moved 21 years ago to spend the rest of my life. And here I am because of poor government, because of poor management, wondering if I even want to stay here anymore. And I can't be the only one. And I've heard from a lot of you that are in fear. And with lack of information, that instills fear. But I guess it's par for the course for the Democratic-run Lackawanna County. I did see that Commissioner Chris Chermak will be holding another town hall meeting in Abington, I believe. And as soon as we get closer to that, I believe it's later this month. And when it gets closer, we'll have him on to talk about that again and let you know exactly when that's going to be. But that is a good thing because more information is good. Tyler Technologies wasn't even at the meeting today, But supposedly they update their website regularly. That's what they said at the meeting. It's 5:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Got a great text in. I appreciate it. Your show is informative and important. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I try. Somebody said, according to Jamie Raskin, the reason why the incident happened in Boulder, Colorado is because of lax gun laws. Well, he wasn't able to get a gun because he had an expired visa and was not here legally. So he was not able to purchase a gun. So if that's what Jamie Raskin said, it just goes to show the ignorance there. And if you missed it earlier, we talked about the former press secretary for the Biden administration has left the Democrat Party. Yep. And Claude Pierre has left the Democrat Party. She's now an independent. And interesting enough, she's got a book coming out that says independent. A few of Biden's inner circle has been called to give transcribed testimony as well. And I'll give Peter Doocy, the White House reporter for Fox News, had the actual pardons. He printed out copies of them and said that one of the pardons was very much different from the rest of them. The pardon for Hunter Biden appeared to be an actual handwritten, because there were actually several mistakes in the signature, in the B. The B had to be corrected, but actually appeared to be Joe Biden's signature, where the rest appeared to be the auto pen. And he brought that comparison to the press secretary, current press secretary's attention. And she said, can you bring him by my office later? I'd like to see them a little more closely. And it appears that one of the committees also wants to talk about just that. And there is precedent for this, because Speaker Johnson had said that he had a discussion with Joe Biden about legislation that he signed. And Joe Biden didn't seem to have a clue that he signed it, saying he actually didn't sign anything to the notion, when in fact it was. Now, did he sign it? Did he not? A lot of pundits on TV today, especially on the Democratic side, were like, well, you know, it's the past and, you know, we're looking to move forward. Of course, you're always looking to move forward when it's your side doing things. But having staff make executive decisions as the president without his knowledge or even approval, maybe, is a crisis in itself. Is a crisis in itself. So, yeah, these things need to be looked at. And it's interesting, because you already have Representative Jasmine Crockett saying when the Democrats get control of the House, they are going to drag Elon Musk in and question him, and they're going to impeach Donald Trump. I guess they didn't learn anything from the first time. And then, you know, you look at and you say, well, why doesn't the Trump administration go scorched earth with these individuals, with Biden officials, past officials, drag them in, rake them over the coals? Because you know they're going to do it the second they get power. They already said it. She said, first thing we're going to do is drag Elon Musk in. But remember, the precedent's already been set. Maybe by an auto pen, but it's been set to where Biden administration had wide sweeping pardons for many of his staff members, family, and a whole bunch of other people. So now that that precedent's been set, don't be surprised if Elon Musk has a blanket pardon for anything and anything he may have done during this time, and each and every staff member and the Trump administration, because it's the precedent that has been set now. But you didn't have a problem with it before because, you know, oh, the Trump administration is going to go after him. Hasn't gone after anyone, has he? Nope, too busy running the country. But yet Democrats, who aren't in power right now, saying exactly what they're going to do, projecting exactly what they're going to do. Not, hey, this is what we're going to do different for the country. Not this is how we're going to save your Medicaid that we're fear-mongering about. Not how we're going to save your Social Security. Not that how we're going to lower costs on things. Nope, what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to impeach and we're going to drag people in for testimony. That's it. The American people have already shown they're sick of that. They did it. You did it to extents. And no one cared. They elected him again by overwhelming numbers and even grew in popularity. So I guess you didn't learn. It's 5:43 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Every once in a while, you just have to break stuff. There you go. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show, WILK News Radio, as we try not to break the rest of your evening, but I know it's hard sometimes. Jake, someone texted in, the Stanley Cup starts tonight?
Yeah, it sure does, and it's a rematch of last year. Excuse me one second.
I couldn't even tell you who's playing in it.
Florida Panthers and Edmonton Oilers. First game is in Edmonton. I believe puck drop is just a little bit after 8 o'clock. And these two met in the Stanley Cup last year, Florida winning their first championship. And let me see real quick here. Yeah, 8 o'clock. That will be game one. And let's see here. Friday night is game two, 8 o'clock as well. All these games are on TNT. Monday, so just looking here. Yeah, they're all 8 o'clock games. So Monday will be the first game in Florida. Then next Thursday, June 12th, will be game four. And if necessary, then game five would be Saturday night, June 14th in Edmonton. Game six would go back to Florida. That would be Tuesday, June 17th. And hey, we all know sports, we all know networks, we all know ratings. They all want a game seven. And if it were to be a game seven, it would be Friday night, June 20th, 8 p.m. TNT. Also on True TV and Max, and that game seven would be in Edmonton. So, yeah, it's not very often that you get the same two teams that meet 2 years in a row. So, definitely an exciting time of the year.
Means all the other teams didn't do their job.
Exactly.
In getting better.
Yeah.
That's all it means. Is there a favorite?
Well, I mean, I was going to say that it's rather interesting. I could even pull up the odds right here. Well, so Edmonton is favored to win game one. And I mean, then again, home ice advantage and whatnot. I'm sure that probably has something to do with it. But yeah, it's going to be fun. And very evenly matched, if you ask me. And looking forward to it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, somebody texted in. I couldn't even tell you that was going on today.
Well, now we know. Well, I should be paying attention to it because my brother-in-law, Mike Joyce, he's actually the head trainer for the Florida Panthers. So,
is he really?
Yeah, yeah, he really is. He and my sister Jill, they met back around 2018 or so. And yeah, he's been with Florida for three seasons now. And all three seasons he's been there, they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. I know 2 years ago they lost to Las Vegas, but I was going to say that's a hell of a track record to have. Three seasons, three Stanley Cup appearances, so just going to have to wait and see what happens.
Do they get anything when they win the Stanley Cup? Like, do the players, do the trainers, do they get rings? Do they get anything?
I know Mike did get he did get a ring last year in Christmas Eve dinner. He was showing it to me and to Kelly, and I'm sure, and of course, my parents as well. So, yeah, pretty impressive piece of bling, to say the least.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, hope they pull it through since we have a connection. Definitely. Now. You got to keep us updated on what's going on, because I do not follow. I like going to our local hockey games.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching hockey. As far as following it and knowing who's who and what's what, no.
Yeah.
Sorry. Nope.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and tomorrow night the NBA finals start, but I don't really care either way. I've gotten to that point.
You know, I got into basketball for a short term when I still lived in New York, when it was the Knicks and the Bulls. You know, when you had Jordan and Patrick Ewing and Scottie Pippen, and I mean, there was just a crew that you just had to watch.
The golden days of the NBA.
You just had to watch, where it was respectful, athletic, you know, just pure sport.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, and I mean, so many people, when I think of, you know, Charles Barkley is another one, Shaquille O'Neal, honestly, my favorite NBA player of all time. I'm a Boston Celtics fan, but for the New York Knicks to make it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, made it all the way to Game 6, ultimately lost to the Indiana Pacers, best team they've had in 25 years, and you fire your head coach, Tom Thibodeau. I mean, it's just, It's a mind-boggling decision. I don't understand the reasoning behind it.
Say that name three times quick.
Yeah, Tom. Yeah. Let's see. Tom Thibodeau, Tom Thibodeau, Tom Thibodeau. I was going to say, now if I tried it five times, then it would be a complete train wreck. But
we might have to dump you there.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I bumped into Patrick Ewing once on the street, and the size of that human being
is
you can't put it into words, you know, how large. You know, I've seen Shaq, another one that's just
– I love Shaq.
You really can't have – he was at a police conference that I was at because he has been a large supporter of law enforcement and is actually a reserve officer in a lot of places that he's lived. But again, the mere size of Patrick Ewing, I turned around. You didn't expect him. Like Shaq, I expected to see. But Patrick Ewing, we just happened to be in the same small space at the same time. I turned around. And basically, I'm looking at his upper stomach, you know, in the eyes. And, you know, the rest is you look up at him.
Unbelievable.
Yep. That indeed. Hockey rinks are super air-conditioned, my friend. How about this heat? LOL. No, we're not going to talk about the heat here. We banned
it all. I'm enjoying this weather today.
Yeah.
I think we suffer enough over the month of May with it raining every day.
I did get some time while I was doing my show prep to go out and sit on my deck for a little bit, get some sun, and enjoyed it. You know, listen, we're going to have some rain, but this is, you know, part of the deal in summer. But I love the springs, the summers, and falls here.
Me too.
From after Christmas until mid-March. I could do it out northeast Pennsylvania.
At that point,
I could do it out by the end of January, especially the whole entire month of February. I'm kind of just done. But listen, we've had mild winters. I really don't have a lot to complain about. So you know, I'm not gonna. What did I say 2 years ago? Pennsylvania is the new North Carolina, and as long as that keeps happening, I'm fine with it. And I truly think
that was
that's
one of the
case.
First promos we ever did.
Yep.
Make Pennsylvania the new North Carolina.
I remember they tried to go, well, climate change is going to get you. We're going to get climate change, and we're going to have to deal with all these things that get climate change. And I go, listen, I don't care if Pennsylvania is the new North Carolina. Let it happen. I don't need to shovel snow anymore, and I'm sure most people don't. Listen, I understand our resorts. I understand the people who depend on plowing and such like that, you know, need it. I could do without it, which is why, you know, maybe one day if Lackawanna County doesn't piss me off too much and I do stay here – we'll, you know, get my house in. You all right, Jake?
Bad time to take a sip of water and nearly spit it out.
You know, maybe get my snowbird place down there. And there's plenty on the markets. Like I said, those houses are dropping $10,000 a week for cost because of all the excess supply that's out there. And I did talk to Sue Henry during the exchange of shifts here one day, and she said it is that bad. So if you're looking to buy a house, you know, they're starting to be in your favor. So hopefully the interest rates start to favor you as well. It's 5:56 here at WILK. We'll be back to close out the show in just a minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. I heard Kingston had to increase its crisis hotline since the Trump administration won. You know, people's mental health is most important, so we need to make it a priority there. I am seeing, you know, this is the mess the Biden administration is in. Karine Jean-Pierre announcement that she's leaving the Democrat Party, timed with the rollout of her new book, is reigniting frustrations among former White House colleagues. Now, this is from Politico, coming from the Biden administration. Everyone thinks this is a grift, a former official told us of her book. So even Biden administration officials think that her switching parties and writing this book independent is simply a grift. And that's coming from a Biden former official telling Politico on Karine Jean-Pierre announcement that she's switching, leaving the Democrat Party to become an independent and has a new book coming out that's titled Independent. So, yeah, I would think that it is exactly that. Infighting happening still. It's not going to get pretty. 6 o'clock here on WILK News Radio. God bless. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege. Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.